To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Skip down with me to verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. This is the word of the Lord. You guys can have a seat.
Thanks, buddy. Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Man, it's so good to be with all of you. I love Pastor Josh and his family and this church. And man, I've loved coming up here over the years, getting to spend time with each of you. And just consider it a privilege to get to come and to open God's word with each of you. I won't be divulging any juicy secrets today on Josh, but I might about another friend of mine. That's to come. So I think I might have shared this last time I was here. So I was born and raised in the Texas Hill Country, so that's where I'm from. So I grew up loving all things ranches, horses, ranch life, all of that. And from like a really young age, I mean, I used to ask my folks if I could go work on a ranch. So like, I think when I was 10, because I texted my mom, was I 10 years old? This ranch that was close by said, hey, sure, you know, I'll take them for a few hours. And my job was to pick rocks. You know, so it was like you had a 5-gallon bucket, and it's like however many buckets of rocks did, you know, clear out of this pasture and then go dump it over here. Like I got 10 cents a bucket. And like, which I thought was awesome at the time, but then like hours of work and time, and then you get done, it's like, I mean, 75 cents, you know? This is terrible. So I grew up loving ranch life, and then so about my last 2 years of high school during the summers and first couple years of college during the summers, I worked on this one ranch called Double Dare Ranch and Llama Company. So it was a horse and llama ranch, lots of llamas, a lot of llamas. And I was more interested in the horses than the llamas, but my job was really to tend to the llamas. So my job was like to get to know them, know their name, you know, their feeding schedule, like when to take them out to certain pastures and certain ones. Like we even had one that was like a grand champion of champions llama. Like have you guys heard of grand champion of champions? His name was Papa George. Do you have any idea how much that sucker was worth? It was about 50 grand. I mean, this is like an expensive llama. Papa George, he was the man. So my job was like to get to know them, know their name, take care of them, feed, you know, clean, all that kind of stuff. And there was one llama in particular when I first started. Her name was Sydney. And now some llamas are more crabbier than others, just how it goes. And Sydney was no exception. She was terrible. She was awful. And when I first started, I don't know, it was like my voice or the way that I was doing things. You know, she kind of walked up close, like as they were all, like I was trying to get them all, you know, to go in this direction. And as she came up, she kind of stopped and she like, you know, arched her neck back and flattened her ears and like stared at me, you know, at the side of her. And like, as like a new guy on the ranch, I just like did not like that at all. I was like, you should not be whatever this is. And like, you know that scene in Gladiator when Maximus is like, death smiles at us all a man can do is smile right back, you know? That was like the posture I took. I was like, I'm going to stare right back at you. And so if you don't know this about llamas, if you don't pick up on their cues, then they regurgitate their stomach contents and they spit it like about 10 feet out, just spray. So I'm, you know, Maximus, staring back at it, and she just like lets it go. And I'm like, if you're like a foot and a half away from like 10 feet worth of just stomach contents, it's terrible. And I was utterly drenched. And here's the thing, it's really awful for the recipient, but it's also like really terrible for the llama because they think it's disgusting themselves. And like, they won't close their mouth, they'll keep their mouth open, like, I can't believe I did this. And if they get any spit like near their food, they won't eat their food like for days. I mean, it's awful. But I'm happy to report She got to know me. She learned to trust me. She learned my voice. All the llamas knew my voice, and I was never spit on again. And I was a good shepherd to those llamas. So more on that story a little later. So we're here in John 10, and we're looking this morning at Jesus, who's the good shepherd. So he calls himself the good shepherd. He's not just any shepherd. He is the good shepherd. So as you heard Pastor Josh read that text, you know, it talks a lot about how sheep hear the shepherd's voice. They listen, they hear, they respond, they follow the shepherd's voice. And so this morning I thought, oh, maybe this sermon should be super practical, and we should just get into, like, practically, how do you do that? Like, how do you develop and grow in the practice of hearing God's voice? Because he still speaks. Like, it's not like he spoke for all this time and then just is done talking. Like, he still speaks today, and he speaks to his sheep. But as I was praying, I felt like that's not what the Lord had for us today. After talking with Pastor Josh about, you know, kind of what this Lenten series is intended to be, and just pressing into the Lord, I felt like he was saying, no, I want my people to hear, like he wants us to look at him from his perspective. Like, this is who I am as the good shepherd. These are things that I do. This is how I see my sheep. And then I think he wants to minister to us today. So, you know, this isn't just going to be an intellectual exercise where, you know, I share a couple points, which I will, but I want us to kind of get through these points so we can just take a few moments together and receive the ministry of the good shepherd. So that's my heart for you, and I think that's the Lord's heart for us. I think he wants us to experience the good shepherd afresh, just in a new way. And to ask, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me today? Because he has a word, like, for each of us in this room. Like, no matter where you are, like, you're supposed to be here today, and he's still speaking, and he wants to communicate. He wants to engage with you. So that's kind of where we are going today. So let me pray, and then, oh, wait, before I pray, I did want to share two quick resources with you. So, you know, this discipline and practice of learning to hear God's voice, that's still very important. And so I did just want to put these up here on the screen for you. These are two books that are really great. Pete Gregg on the left, How to Hear God. It's a really thorough, really good read on, like, how you cultivate this practice. And then this book on the right is Robert Morris's Frequency, Tune In and Hear God. And, like, actually, I kind of put an acronym together that I use just in my own personal devotions, like, kind of based on that book from Frequency. Really practical, really great book. So if you want to grow in this discipline of, like, how do I learn to hear God's voice in my life, these are really helpful resources for you and a really good place to start. So just want to encourage you to that. All right. Okay, let's pray. Lord God, we are here, and we just acknowledge today, Lord, if we are your sheep, that we're yours. We belong to you, and we want to hear from you. Holy Spirit, we want to receive what you have for us. So I pray that you would captivate each of our imaginations, lay hold of our thoughts and our hearts, and God, let only your word be spoken and received in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, there is a universal human need, two things that we all need and we all desire, and it's guidance and care. Guidance and care, and that's kind of my two points for the sermon. We all need guidance. We all want to know, what should I do? Should I take this job? Should I not take this job? Should I marry this person? Should I not marry this person? Should I move here? Should I stay? Should I respond in this way? Should I not? Like, constant guidance for our life. Like, I want to know what I'm supposed to do in any given situation. And then we also have this universal need for care. Everybody in this room wants to feel loved. Like, you want to be known, this is, like, really who I am, truly, and you know that, and you love me anyway. Like, you want to feel like you belong. Somebody cares for us. And what we're going to see in this passage in John 10 and with the Good Shepherd is that Jesus actually fulfills both of those needs for us. So point number one of the sermon is trust in the Good Shepherd's care. Trust in the good shepherd's care. So look at verse 14. Verse 14, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. That's verse 15. I'm the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. So in ancient times, sheep were owned and tended to by the shepherd. So, like, you know, it wasn't like me working on Double Dare Ranch and Llama Company. I'm a hired hand that they bring in. But, like, actually, in ancient times, it was the shepherd who owned the sheep, right? Or maybe, you know, their son was tending to it. But they owned it, which means that the sheep were like the lifeblood for that family. And so that owner is like, my life is in these sheep. My wealth, my inheritance, everything, like, is all in these sheep. And so those shepherds knew every sheep. Like, there was no unknown sheep in the flock. So the shepherd's going to know where the sheep probably is born out in the pasture. It's going to know every scrape, every wound. It's going to know, you know, if it gets sick, everything. Like, it knows each sheep intimately well. And so what Jesus is saying, that he knows his sheep, he is the good shepherd who knows his sheep. He's saying, I know my sheep in this way. So he knows, if you are his sheep, he knows if you're excited, he knows if you're depressed, he knows if you're anxious, he knows if you're worried about something, he knows if you're oppressed, if you're feeling demonized, if you're feeling like if you're struggling, he knows if you're walking through a particular trial, like he knows it all, like he knows what has you, like what keeps you up at night, or like you're bent over in your soul, just like crushed under something, he knows it. He knows all of it because he is the good shepherd who knows us that well. And then if you notice the comparison that he makes there in verse 15, just as the Father knows me. Just as the Father knows me. That's how intimately well he knows us. So I want that to just sink in for a moment. Like, take that in. Okay, as the Father knows the Son. So how much intimacy is there between those? A lot, right? I mean, they're one. Like, they're one. Like, for the Father to know the Son is to know himself. So eternal, perfect union, perfect harmony together forever. There's nothing unknown, like nothing unknown between the two. Like one substance, one being, right? Three persons. That's how intimately well the Good Shepherd knows you. Okay, so what you know, so what, right? So what Jesus is saying is that is how intimately well he knows you. So he knows every flaw. He knows your deepest, darkest secrets. He knows everything about you. And yet, he loves you unconditionally. He loves you unconditionally. So think about your best friend, okay? This might be somebody that you knew in college. This might have been a roommate, somebody that you grew up with. This might be a spouse, somebody who knows you really, really really well, and you know their flaws, you know the things that make them not super attractive to other people. So I had a buddy of mine, my best friend in college, who I roomed with, and he had this habit where if we would put a movie on or a show, he would have a glass of milk and a sleeve of Oreos, and then he would have like a jar of pickles right here. And so he would like put two Oreos in his hands and submerge them in the milk, like with his fingers. It's gross. And like, you know, he'd watch the show. And then he would sometimes take one Oreo, stick it in the other, you know, so like one hand's holding two Oreos. And then with the other hand, he would grab a pickle and just like eat the whole pickle. And then go back to the Oreo and just like eat the, and I'd be like, dude, that is gross. This is like the worst disgusting habit, right? And I kept that secret for him. Like up until today at the 9 o'clock service, I kept that flaw just between the two of us because we were, you know, good friends. But like, you know, think about a best friend. Like, you have experiences together, laugh together, you hurt together, you know each other's wounds, you know the flaws, and yet you love them anyway. You know, so you say, what does that mean? It means that Jesus knows your deepest flaws, the ones that are worse than Oreos and pickles. Like, he knows it all, and yet his response to you is unconditional love, just absolute favor. Like, you could not be more lovable to him than you are right now this morning. You know, a lot of us think, oh, like, there's a measuring stick of holiness, and I got to get up to there, then I'll be, you know, then I'll be loved, right? And that's just not how it is with him. Yes, he changes us and grows us, right? Because he is a good shepherd. But your performance does not determine the amount of love that you receive. He loves you unconditionally because it flows from his grace. It doesn't flow from some standard. It flows from grace. So freely flows. So what Jesus is saying is, I know my sheep so intimately well, and I love them unconditionally. I love them that well. And you can know, well, I can trust a guy like that. Because if somebody knows me that intimately well, knows everything, and yet he still unconditionally loves me, I can trust someone like that. And he's not just any shepherd, but he's a good shepherd. So he wants and desires good for his sheep. He does want you to grow. He does want you to flourish. So if you think about over in Psalm 23, you know, if you're familiar with that psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, right? He's my shepherd, I shall not want. And we learn in that psalm that the good shepherd actually makes us do something that you would think we should be able to do this on our own. Like, we as competent human beings, as competent sheep, like, we should be able to do this on our own. But in Psalm 23, we learn we can't do it on our own. Like, actually, for sheep, it is really difficult for them to be at rest and to lie down. Sheep won't lie down. If they think there's a predator or they think there's tension in the group, they feel it, always anxious, always worried. If there's an issue with food, I mean, anything, they will not lie down. And Psalm 23 says, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, right? He restores my soul. This is the good shepherd. So Jesus comes into our life, and he comes in and he makes our anxious, worrisome natures be at rest. And he does that when we put our absolute trust in his care. So B.B. Warfield was a professor at Princeton back in the 1800s. And B.B. Warfield wrote this essay called The Emotional Life of Our Lord. And in this essay, he was trying to determine what is the number one emotion attributed to Jesus when he was on this earth, like when he was here walking around. What was the number one emotion that he had, that he exhibited? And any guesses what it was? Like, maybe anger, like he just walked around frustrated with everybody. Look at all these sinners. No, it wasn't anger. What do you think? Anybody? Love? Compassion. It was actually compassion. The number one, what he exhibited more than any other emotion that you see in Scripture, like when you look through the Bible, when you look through the New Testament, all these stories, the number one dominant emotion that was attributed to him is compassion. Filled with compassion, he goes here. Stirred with compassion, he moved in this way. Like, even his parables, filled with compassion. He looked, you know, when the father sees the prodigal son from far away, it says, filled with compassion, stirred, moved with compassion, the father runs to the prodigal son. The prodigal son had not asked for forgiveness, had not done anything to deserve the compassion, right? Like, all the prodigal son in that story had done was just rebel and run against the father. But then he's like on his way back, and just heartbeat is compassion. That is the heartbeat of our good shepherd. It's one of care. He's not just any shepherd, but he is good. And so we can put our trust in the good shepherd's care because he knows you that intimately well, and yet he loves you unconditionally. Absolute compassion for you. But, so that's point number one, but he doesn't only want us to trust in his good care, he wants us to follow his guidance. So that's point number two, is to follow the good shepherd's guidance. He wants us to follow him. So if you look at verses 3 and 4, here's what it says. You heard it read earlier. It says, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out, right? So he's leading them out. He goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now, the owners... So the owners at the Double Dare Ranch, the Welches, that was their name. So, you know, these llamas knew the Welch's voice. And man, I mean, when they said their name, Patches, Panda, you know, Sydney, that, you know, terrible llama, they came like running. Why? Because they knew the shepherd's voice. I know I'm talking about llamas, not sheep. I know they're different, but they're very similar. And so these llamas just came running, and they didn't have to understand why. They just knew this is my shepherd's voice, and I go and I follow him. So a couple years ago, my wife, me, and my two girls, we were down in the hill country, and we were visiting my parents, and we were going down this old country road, and on the side of the road was this winery. And behind the winery, they had a bunch of llamas out in the pasture. They thought it would be nice to sit and sip wine while you watch llamas graze in a field, right? That sounds awesome. And that's what you do in the Texas Hill Country. So, but this winery was closed, and the llamas had actually got out of the pen. I actually saw one of them get out. The fence was like only like 2.5-3 feet high or so. And I mean, I watched this llama trying to follow like his buddies who had already got out, ran toward it, and like he let his neck go over first, and then he just somersaulted out of this thing over the fence, and then just got up and kept running. It was, yeah, that's amazing. So there's all these llamas out in the road, and you know, all the cars are like stopped. And I pulled over and I was like, oh my gosh, guys, I can actually fix this. I'm super qualified for this moment. This is what I was born to do, you know? And so, you know, I asked my girls, do you want to come with me? They were like, no way. So I got out of the car, you know, and this other guy helped, you know, and we went, but here was the problem. Like, these llamas didn't know my voice. They didn't know me. They didn't trust me. And so, you know, I didn't know their name, so I couldn't call to them. So, you know, we kind of just aggressively, you know, forced them back in the pen, which we were able to do, and we saved the day. So you say, what does that matter? Here's the point. Those llamas on the Double Dare Ranch, the fact that they could hear the voice of the shepherd and respond, hearing that voice wasn't something that they did. It's actually who they were. Like who they were. So hearing God's voice isn't just an activity that we do. It has more to do with identity. So if you're here this morning and you belong to him, like you're actually in Jesus, and you put your trust in him, then congratulations, you are a sheep and you can hear his voice and you can get better at that over time. And the fact that like you might struggle with it doesn't mean that you're not a sheep or that you can't hear his voice. It just means that that's a communication skill that that we have to grow in. It's like with your spouse. This happens all the time with my wife and I. You know, we'll be having this conversation and she's saying something to me. She's trying to help me to understand it. She's using, like, she uses story after story to help me get it. And I'll be like, yeah, you know, here's the problem. She's like, no, that's not what I said at all. You just said that. She's like, no, I didn't say that. Okay, say it again, right? That's just like, I need to learn to listen better and hear better, right? So it's the same with our communication and our communion with the Lord. Like we have to grow at it. And that's why I put those books up. Like they can really help develop that skill for us. But it's a matter of being. So if you are a sheep, you can hear his voice. But here's a question for us. What happens when you don't feel like he's shepherding anymore? What happens going through life, which if we're honest, this is how most of life is, and like you find yourself in a situation, a season, it could be like months or years long, and you feel like, gosh, I'm not hearing anything. Like, what is he doing? And you are a sheep. Like, you put your trust in him, you love him, and you know, you're in communion with him, but you feel like, I'm not sensing a lot of guidance here. I mean, I'm trying to follow him and trust him. Maybe you feel like, I don't even feel like he's being caring. Like I feel like he's not protecting me, or maybe he's just not seeing me anymore. So what do you do in that moment? Like, what is God doing in those moments? So if you remember at the beginning of the sermon when we were talking about, or toward the beginning, when we were saying how intimately well he knows us, right? He knows us that well, like the Father and the Son. One of the things that he knows us is that our flaws that we have, and we all have them, our flaws control our entire lives until we see them, like until we know they're there, which is a really big problem, right? So he knows that. He knows that about us, and he loves us, because he is a good shepherd, too much to see us just stay there. And so he is going to help you grow and develop and live a life, like a flourishing life, like you talk about here, a flourishing grace. That's what God's heart is for you. But the problem is, nobody knows their flaws just by being told their flaws. Like, nobody knows they're a sinner just because you tell them, hey, you're a sinner. They don't really get it. They don't really learn it. Like, my parents growing up, they used to tell me, hey, Joseph, you can be impulsive and reckless. Like, you need to be careful. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm sure, you know. And then, you get married, and my spouse, hey, you can be impulsive and reckless. Okay, yeah, no, I know. Like, you can be told that and never really change until God shows it to you. And that's when you really learn it. So nobody learns their flaws just by being told. You have to be shown. And when God is showing you that, which happens over time, those are the moments that can feel like he's most absent. Like, I don't know what he's doing. I don't know where he is or what he's doing, but what he's actually doing in those times is he's taking everything in your life. He's taking all of the good and beautiful things. He's taking all of the evil, wicked things maybe done to you. It could be injustice. It could be all sorts of stuff. He's taking all of that, and over time, he's overruling it. And he's eventually, in the end, you'll understand, he's turning it for your good. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. You don't just know he's doing that in the middle of something or even at the beginning of something. It's only at the end. So I could stand up here all day and I could say, oh my gosh, guys, God loves you. He loves you. And that's what Pastor Josh does every Sunday, right? Like, God loves you. But you're never going to learn that really until God shows it to you. Until he shows it to you. So years ago, my wife and I, when we lived out in North Carolina, and I had just finished graduate school, and I was like, all right, I got this great degree from a really good school, and I'm going to find an awesome job. And it's like month after month after month after month goes by, you know, I'm working as like a maintenance tech for, you know, this apartment complex. And I'm thinking, you know, eventually I'll find a job kind of in the vein that I went to school for, which would be nice, you know. A year goes by, and like we just started to feel like, man, God just doesn't care, or he's on to other things, or he's abandoned us, or whatever. And we had this one opportunity that was way out in San Francisco, and it was not something we had any peace about at all. But I mean, it was literally the only thing, like the only door that was open. So we were like, I guess this is just what we're supposed to do. And so like on our second or third time out there, like to see this opportunity, we're there in the hotel room and like, let's just pray one more time. Like one more, like, oh God, if there's anything else, you know, because we just do not feel like this is it. And so, you know, we knelt down, prayed. And as soon as we said amen, we got a phone call. And it was a phone call, somebody that we never met before, but it was an opportunity over in Chicago. Which is actually like totally resonated with us. You know, we already had some friends up that way, and I was like, that's it. But like, it took so long to get there, and so much of that time of like, man, we're not hearing anything from God. Like, we don't. Like, where is he guiding us? Where is he leading? But it was only in the end that we could look back and see, oh, so that's what has to happen in our life. We have to go through different moments and seasons of life where. And over again, you're brought to a place where you say, 100%, God's gone. He's not shepherding anymore. He's just forgotten me. He's abandoned me. And then you're forced to learn, oh, I was wrong. But the thing is, you never know it like in the moment. Like, you never know it in the moment, and you never know it in the middle of it all. You only know it at the end, right? And here's the thing. Like, it has nothing to do with understanding. Like, llamas don't understand what's going on. Like, Job had no idea. Do you, you know, recall the story of Job? You know, Job in the Bible had everything, had a wonderful family, job, all this. Satan comes, destroys, takes it all away. Job didn't understand what was going on in the middle of it at all. But what Job did was he let God be God, and he didn't withdraw his love for God, even though he was mad at God. And that's real relationship. Or same with the story of Joseph. You know, Joseph is this guy who, you know, has this incredible gift. His brothers are super jealous of him. They sell him into slavery, like his own blood sells him into slavery. He kind of rises out of that to get to work for the guy and then gets, you know, defamed and rumored about, gets put in prison again, suffers injustice, slavery, right? Years go by, like years, not just like months of trying to find a job. This is like years where he's crying out to God, no answer. None. I mean, you have to think during that time that Joseph was like, man, is God like really present? Like, is he really seeing me? Like, has he abandoned me, right? But years of this. So you say, okay, so what does all this mean? It simply means that the good shepherd is always shepherding. That's the point. He is always shepherding, especially in those moments when you feel like he's not. Especially in those moments when you feel like he's gone doing something else. He's not. He is active. He's with you. He sees you. He cares for you, and he's still guiding you. And it's when we go through those moments, which if we're all honest, we go through those seasons a lot. It's when we go through those moments and we say, I'm going to keep trusting you. I'm going to keep trusting you, come what may. I completely trust you. And I'm going to accept whatever you give me. If we can do that over and over and over again, then you start to make better plans. You start to make better decisions in life. We start to become wiser, wiser sheep. But here's what I want to ask you this morning. That's this picture of the Good Shepherd, and he's inviting us to trust in his care, to follow his guidance. So here's the question. Where are you? Right? We don't just want to think rightly about things or understand things, but we want to live into this story that God is inviting us on, and that God has invited us on as sheep. So my question to you is, where are you? Like, do you find yourself in a difficult season right now where it's difficult to trust in his care? You feel like maybe he's just not as attuned to what's going on in my life. I mean, I've definitely had moments like that, even recently, where I'm like, this does not feel good. Or maybe you're struggling to follow his guidance right now. Take a moment where you are and just bow your head, close your eyes, and just ask, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? What are you saying to me? And let him speak to you. Just take a moment to do that. So maybe you're here today, and if you're honest right now before him, you would say, I am struggling. I just don't know. I don't know anymore. I don't know if I can trust him. I've been too hurt. I've been too hurt by maybe this circumstance that I'm walking in, or by my past. I don't know if the shepherd is any different. Or maybe you're struggling to follow him. Maybe you become impatient and you, you just want to listen to someone else's voice, find some other shepherd and go that way, then this is an invitation for all sheep to return to the Good Shepherd. And maybe you need to hear that this morning. God loves you. He sees you. He is for you. And He will, in the end, He'll overrule all of it for your good. He will turn it. He will. And maybe you just need someone to encourage you. Hey, keep trusting. Keep trusting. Maybe you're in a Job moment. Maybe you're in a Joseph moment this morning, and you just need someone to remind you. Hey, hang on. Hang on. Keep looking at Him. Remember how intimately connected the Father is with the Son. That's how well He knows you. He knows you that well. And He loves you unconditionally. So hang on. Maybe you're here and you need to experience the Good Shepherd of Psalm 23. You need Him to make you lie down. Maybe you're full of worry. Maybe you have a really hard decision that you got to make coming up. It's with your business or some relationship. And you need the Good Shepherd to make you lie down in a green pasture because he's got you. So regardless, I want to invite all of us, if you would, to extend your hands out in front of you, just in a posture of receiving, and I want us to pray this prayer together. And let's repeat this. My God, Father and Savior, I know You know me. You have not left me. You have not forgotten about me. I confess I'm struggling, that I need to trust in Your care and follow Your guidance. So Holy Spirit, fill me with strength to believe, with a yielded heart, an attentive mind, a willing spirit. Open my ears to hear Your voice. Open my eyes to see You lead. I return to You now. I put my trust in You and will follow after You. I receive Your peace today. Amen. Friends, I hope you receive that today. I hope as you leave this place that maybe you feel a burden lift. And there are some of you where the Holy Spirit is doing that. Where He is working in you, He is reminding you of those things, and He is communicating to you more of His presence to say, I'm with you and I'm for you. And now I know this, you know, I said this sermon only had a couple points, but I want to end with one more point. And it's this: receive the Good Shepherd's life. Receive the Good Shepherd's life. And I want to read two verses here as we close. Verse 11, he says, I'm the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. And over in verse 28, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. So maybe you're here this morning and you've actually never received life from the Good Shepherd. You've never put your trust in Jesus. And you may have been part of the church for a long time, but you're here and maybe God has actually been showing you. Maybe He's showing you some of your flaws. Maybe all, you know, the Oreos and the pickles and, you know, the worser flaws in that and your deepest sins. Maybe God has been gracious in showing you some of those things. And you're actually learning, I am a sinner. I am in need of grace. And you're here today. And this invitation is for you. And I want to invite you, run to the Good Shepherd and receive life. And once you do, no one can snatch you out of his hand. You'll hear His voice. You can trust in His care and you can follow His guidance. So if that's you, then I invite you to pray this simple prayer. Heavenly Father, I confess I am a sinner in need of grace, and that Jesus Christ, Your Son, died for me. I now confess that Jesus is Lord, and I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. I commit my life to you now. Amen. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you. Oh God, we thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you that you are our good shepherd, that you know us that well, and yet you say to us, I love you. We thank you that you offer us guidance, that we can follow you through thick and thin, through good and bad, and we can know in the end, our God is for us, and you're turning everything for our good. And we thank you for that. God, may we learn to trust in your love and follow your guidance with unwavering faith. Holy Spirit, would you go before us? Fill us with everything we need to trust and follow. Amen.